This episode is brought to you in partnership with Chew Chicago. Chicago and no. Hey.
Hey.
77 flavors outside again. We're outside.
You missed on location.
On location, outside. That's the thing we do here. She hates it, but I do it anyway.
On location.
On yeah. I say that because we always on location.
That's, I know.
That's you know.
You would redundant. Have to be, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You have to physically be somewhere.
Exactly.
But I like saying it. I like saying it.
But all right.
So we are fresh off a plane. You all, and I know,
Lord.
You know, we'll talk about it in a second, because that was a fiasco. However, Bernard, we do trivia here before we play our intro, so don't say the answer yet if you know it, but we have
he definitely knows this answer.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't know. Let's see. Here
he
we
knows,
go.
Everything.
I was about to say, you might know this one. This one is a multiple choice, everybody, all you listeners out there, so I'll make it a little bit easier for you all. You can guess now.
Okay.
Trivia, what is the average age of Chicago's population? Choice A, 52 years old, B, 35 years old, or C, 47 years old.
Oh, it's not a range.
Not a range. So
I think I know the answer.
Yeah, don't say it. If you know, you Bernard is like, it's a good one.
I have no clue.
It's a good one. You all got a 33% chance to get it right. So I will let you all deal with that. We're going to play the intro. You all, this is 77 Flavors of Chicago, the podcast.
This is the podcast where we visit all 77 of Chicago's historic neighborhoods and discuss their heritage and taste the amazing food.
And if you know anything about us, we love two things, food and Chicago, so I can't wait to burn this gas money.
You ready?
Let's get it.
This is the 77 Flavors of Chicago, the podcast.
Hey, we are back. 77 Flavors of Chicago. Y'all think about that trivia question?
I know the answer.
You know, okay.
I would say, considering the amount of people that live in River North, that choose to live in River North.
Okay.
And the number of startups in the city, I would say the average age is 35.
Okay. All right.
That's my deductive reasoning.
I like that.
Okay.
I would say it's probably the middle number.
35?
Because I just guessed that.
He said, ain't no reason. It is what it is. Well, let me give you all this. You are correct.
Hey.
You are correct.
You stole that answer from me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm correct.
No, yeah, but you're both correct.
We both guessed the same number.
Yeah, you got the same one. Yeah, oh. 35. It's actually 34.8 is the average age. But, yeah, you know, I didn't even think about that. Deductive reasoning with
you know me.
Yeah, that's River North. You all held down that answer. And in the business, actually, yeah. So the average age is 35 here in Chicago. 2.7 million people, we're roughly 35 years old.
So if you're single,
old.
It's really your fault.
Yeah, right.
If you're in that age group and you're single, it's on you because there's plenty.
Yeah, yeah. If you can't find somebody, Bernard is like, damn.
I never thought of that.
Before we get to it, I just do want to finish off the trivia. We are in Austin, and the average age here is 37, so not too far off here.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't be single here either.
Yeah, you should be here with somebody.
Dario.
Sarah.
And we are here with somebody that has got so much history and knowledge of the city. Bernard, you work for the Chicago History Museum.
Yeah,
as a docent.
We don't call ourselves docents.
Okay.
But we call ourselves gallery interpreters.
Oh,
okay.
Fancy.
I like it.
But the interesting thing about the word docent, it's a German word that means docent. It means interpreter.
The guy that's telling you what the things are.
It's a German word for that.
Okay.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's good to know.
But you know why he would know that? It's because you were also a German teacher. Tell us about yourself.
Oh, yeah. I was a German teacher for 9 years.
Wow.
And I taught mainly in the suburbs, Aurora, Glen Ellen.
Okay.
I taught in Alvernia High School in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And I spent a year in Berlin teaching in a language school.
Wow. Are you still fluent?
Más o menos.
Yeah. I think that's,
more or less.
I think that's Spanish.
I know. Yeah. I just threw that in there. Yeah.
So you, three languages.
Like,
y'all heard that?
Yeah, okay.
Trilingual.
All right.
You were in Berlin and you taught, you were teaching them how to speak German.
Well it wasn't Germans I taught. It was students who came to Germany.
Okay.
So they were there for the university and I taught in a language school.
Okay. Okay.
And they were mostly from Turkey.
All over that part of the
Turkey and the Middle East.
Dope. I mean, so how did you get into, you know, obviously I know you love your teacher, so you like the history part, you like the knowledge part. How did you get partnered up with...
How'd you go from German to history?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. Those are not...
In Chicago.
I guess they are related, but...
Well, actually, what I decided was I wanted to do something as a volunteer when I retired from my career.
Yeah.
Which was in educational publishing. And so I went to the Chicago History Museum, asked them if I could volunteer there. That was 22 years ago.
Wow.
I've been doing that ever since. And then I really got, you know, I always like to tell people, if you volunteer at the Chicago History Museum, it's almost like getting a degree in history.
Yeah,
Because they tell you everything.
Wow.
Everything you would ever want to know about Chicago history.
So we should just volunteer.
Yeah.
We should just
should.
We want to be the thing that people listen to in Chicago and like, or have another outlet, you know.
Yeah.
We've always talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something else that's really cool, you got the book.
Yeah,
so we met Bernard, just to give you all some context as to how we actually like linked up with Bernard. We long story short, we both were co-partnering, co-hosting a tour for Blacks in Green, which you all will hear about that this week, next episode. We partnered together, and that's how we kind of linked up. And we found out that he has done a mini version of what we did.
Yes.
And there's his book. Go tell us about the book.
Well, it's called Chicago Neighborhoods with Flavor, Getting Out of the Loop.
Hey.
And I always thought about doing this book because... I like the TV show that comes on. It used to come on. I don't know if it's
Check
on
please.
Anymore. Check, please.
Yeah, no, it's gone.
It's gone. Well, anyway, I thought it was a great show.
Yeah.
Because you go to different neighborhoods. You get to find out about different restaurants. And, you know, you can almost taste the food the way they describe it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool. So my idea was, based on Check, Please, ask some friends of mine, if you have people coming to visit you from out of town, where would you take them to eat?
Right.
So I picked out friends and people that I knew, and I said, well, you choose the restaurant, and we would go to these different restaurants in different neighborhoods. So some of them were like Lincoln Park, Portage Park.
All over.
Bronzeville.
Yeah, Logan
Chatham,
Square.
Yeah, all over the city.
Yeah.
And I would interview the restaurateur, you know, the people on the restaurant.
Yep.
And we would eat there and, you know, critique it. And then I asked the restaurant for a recipe.
Oh, wow. That's pretty dope.
That's a really cool part.
That's a very cool part.
Most of them gave me a recipe.
Yeah, they didn't want to tell
not
secrets.
Not everybody.
Yeah,
really?
They want to keep
like
the secrets. Yeah.
Right.
We're not telling you.
Right.
Go home, start making this, put us out of business. No.
Yeah. These mosquitoes eating you up.
Yeah, these mosquitoes. I must be, it's thigh meat season still here in Chicago, if you're listening outside. And I made the choice. These are big ass ants, by the way.
Yeah.
They're crawling all over this board. Yeah, you see. Yeah, these ants are huge. so maybe they biting. You know,
maybe
they the ones biting. So that's really dope. So I just want to give you, the listeners, a quick context. We plan on working with Bernard some more in the future. So y'all stay tuned for that. But let's get in tune with it. Like how we do. Bernard, this is the part where we start talking about the history. This is what we do. History. And I don't know if you've heard, but this is how we get in tune. Actually, we really do have to get in tune. Here we go. We do that.
Is that mood music?
Yes, it is.
It's, yeah, the more you know, Rainbow.
Yeah, you know, it just gets us,
about to learn something.
You're about to learn. Usually, that's played after you've been learned.
Right, yeah,
been taught something.
No.
I just thought about
preemptively.
That.
Preemptively.
Right. We just so sure of ourselves that we're going to teach you something.
You're going to learn something.
You're going to learn. Here we go, y'all. We, like I said, are in Austin, community area number 25. Our second go-round for
the
you.
The cicadas are going
crazy. The cicadas are going crazy. If one fell on me right now, my soul would leave my body. I just want to let y'all know.
Instantly.
I just want to let y'all know. You would just see me elevate.
You might also mention we're in Garfield Park.
Yeah. Hey, let's go. Columbus Park.
Columbus Park. Excuse me.
No, you're good. This is the part of the West Side Park system. We don't talk about that. The boundaries, though, tracks to the north, Roosevelt to the south, east track into the west, Austin and Harlem. What's up? Honestly, what's really to the west is Oak Park. That's really what's to the west, you all, because this is, we're on the border, literally. I think we're like three blocks away from the edge of Chicago to the west. So, like I said, we've been here before. We've been down here before. Quick recap for those of you that did not listen the first time. It's named after Henry Austin in 1865, who actually bought this from Henry DeKevin.
Should have just named it Henry.
Right. You know what I mean?
Austin. These Henry.
Right. All these. Where did Austin come from?
His last name.
Yeah. Right. Duh. 470 acres of land. This was called Austinville because they were original. Wow. It was once a dry town and annexed to the city in 1899. 10 years
not
after.
Not 1889?
Not 1889. Right, you know, like
they wanted to be different.
Yeah, they really did want to be different. And this was part of the Cicero Township. Do you have anything context on that?
Well, the only thing that I can say about that is that I believe Austin and Oak Park did not want to be part of Cicero Township.
Really?
Yes,
they thought that was just beneath them.
Yeah.
Yes,
so they didn't want to be part of Cicero Township. So that's the reason why Oak Park and Austin became part of Chicago.
So check this out. We gonna get on that. We do this too. You get coins for all things good.
I wasn't expecting all that.
Hey, you know, that's usually how we get you.
Yeah, right.
When you least expect it. This is one of Chicago's largest community areas as far as geography as well as population. Second to near Northside as well as Lakeview. Lakeview. Yeah,
really?
Lakeview. Yep.
I thought Westtown would be.
You would think.
Westtown is really big.
That just shows you how large Austin really is.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
As well as near Northside. Near Northside, that's like a cheat code, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, that's like all of the Northside.
Yeah, that's why that's. Yeah. That's like, we get it. But and then Columbus Park. So Columbus Park, which we are in right now, was known as the crown jewel of this community area. It was built by Jen Jensen. And I got some fun facts for you.
Or as we say, Jens Jensen.
Yeah, Jens Jensen.
Wait, why does...
J sounds like a...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, yeah. You know.
Okay.
Like, that's quadra language. Columbus Park. So built in 1915, it was completed mostly in 1920. Now, we've told you about Jens Jensen before in the past on the podcast. And, you know, he was a good guy. He just kind of went against the grain and he got the boot. You know, they kicked him out because... He put up a fuss. I'm breaking it down for you all. But he was hired back to work on the west on the park system. And when he came back, it's kind of when he helped finish the project. So he had but another guy. So he just didn't get along with him. The talks for this started in 1912 for this park by the West Park system. They wanted to propose something, and of course, from 1915, they got it started. Jens Jensen behind the helm there. Here's something I did not know, and just to show you how large that the West Side in general was. Mm. In 1912, do you know that there was 900,000 people in the West Side alone?
Damn.
900,000 people.
Wow.
Like, think Chicago's population is 2.7 right now. That's a third. Damn near a third of the population was in 1912 was on the West Side.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Just shows you how the dynamics shifted, you know, in the city. And if I'm being honest, we talked about it last time we talked about Austin. A lot of racial divide here, right? A lot of racial divide. You know, you got whites that are really on like the tip part of the area. And then you got, you know, towards the middle, they're mixed. It's a little bit more integrated. And then you got further south we go. blacks, Mexicans, mainly black. It's mainly a black neighborhood, community area now. But that's the makeup if you were to visualize, you know, what we're doing here. So not really surprising that a lot of white people were in, you know, were there, because this was a good part of this was a fun part of town, you know, even it being dry. Even if being a dry town,
Can I tell you a conspiracy theory that I believe in that I just thought of?
You just thought of it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just now became a believer of this and conspiracy you believe theory. It. The Parks and Recreation Department is a scam. They don't do anything. There's no landscaping. It's just random. They just plant trees. That's my conspiracy theory. I'm done.
You hear that?
Bernard, I'm going to ignore that. Just gonna leave it alone.
Why?
It was well thought out. It wasn't.
It just came to mind. I'm looking here. Like, they took years to plan this. Years.
This is a big deal.
It is.
As parks go, I'm serious.
Yeah. Talk to us.
Well, I mean, you think about the big parks: Jackson Park, Washington Park, Garfield Park, Columbus Park. All of these parks are designed by landscape architects. These are not just
random.
Right. Yeah, these are not just yokels who come in here and do this stuff.
Yeah.
It's all planned out. Not only that, think about whose homes people go to visit in Oak Park.
Right.
Frank Lloyd Wright and the Prairie School of Architecture.
Yeah.
That's all part of what's built into these parks.
Yeah.
So it's not random.
It's not a conspiracy.
I'll let you.
I just want to clarify. I don't actually think it's a conspiracy theory.
I'll let you believe whatever you want.
I know that the Parks and Recreation Department is real and they're out here doing work.
Right.
Okay. I do believe that.
But you Jensen had a lot of influence in the city here. We talked about him. Speaking of which, because I wasn't done with that fun fact. There's another layer to that. And it ties into what we were talking about. There was another, I forgot his name, who started the smaller parks in the city to kind of give people stuff to do. With 900,000 people in the entire west side of the city in 1912, there were only two parks.
Wow.
There were only two parks.
What's the other park?
The other one, actually, LaFont.
LaFollette?
Yeah, LaFollette. Yeah, LaFollette. And that is based named after the governor of Wisconsin. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's the other park that's here that was built at the time. So that was around the area. So kind of crazy that 900,000 people only had two places to let steam off and let the kids have fun.
Crazy.
That is really crazy. More stuff about this. It is 135 acres. And the reason the reason why I bring that up is because it was bigger. It was bigger. And do you know why it was bigger and why it's not as big as it used to be?
Why Columbus Park was bigger?
Yeah.
Or is bigger?
Why it was bigger. I can tell you.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, talk to us.
The Eisenhower.
Yeah. The Eisenhower. When it was built, it chopped off 9 acres of this park. And we're talking just the park. We're not even talking the housing.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're not even talking the housing. We're just talking 9 acres of this park.
I think you wanted to ask. What's
going on? Yeah,
go ahead. Are you going to get into eminent domain and all that stuff?
We talked about it last.
But tell us.
Yeah, tell us again.
Well,
yeah.
Eminent domain means the government can come and buy your home to put in an expressway.
Yep.
And that means that you always get cheated.
Yep. Yeah, you out of there.
So the people don't have a choice. You can't say no.
Yeah. Right.
That's
Fuller Park. We just talked about it with Fuller Park. You know what I mean? Like,
it's mind blowing to me that you own the property and you can't say no.
Right.
Well, one thing that I would add that's kind of not the same is that if you think about the L line, the brown line, it goes through the city. It's not a straight line. And they had to make curves and go around certain buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of that,
right.
They could
right.
not buy these buildings in a row, so they had to cut corners.
Literally, cut corners. Which eminent domain for a city? Because you know, Chicago, love the city, is the greatest city in the world, but you know, they built no matter what. You know, Chicago was going to be built. You know what I mean? That's precisely why we have 77 community areas. You know what I mean? Like every one has come because we want to be a big city, you know, from the jump.
Yeah.
You know, and realistically, after the Chicago Fire, it was showtime. You know what I mean? Like, because we wanted the World's Fair.
Right.
So that's why the annexation in 89, you know, is 1889 for those of you that are 1889 is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And then this one after the World's Fair, that's a, you know, there's not too many after the World's Fair. No. There's not too many after the World's Fair. The city was, for the most part, done. You know what I mean? Like, granted, you still probably had, like, well, I want to say, like, 10 more.
Was O'Hare after?
Well after. Yeah.
And then Edgewater.
Yeah, Edgewater.
Uptown.
Edgewater, that was after, but not long after.
Yeah.
Because it was already a community area. Mm. It just divided.
Yeah.
It just divided. So, it's pretty crazy how the city grew over the time, you know what I mean? Like, and how it changed. It's one more thing about this. So in 1991, it was part of the National Register of Historic Places, this park I'm talking about. In 2003, it was designated as a National Historic Landmark. So we are sitting in one of the best conspiracy theory conspiracy in all of Chicago. So pretty cool. Now, one more thing that I have history-wise, and this is pretty cool. We talked about this being part of the Palos, the Oak Park, and the Cicero Township. So it was part of the Cicero Township, and you're right. They did vote. If you remember the last time we talked about this, they were like, nah, we don't want to be a part of this anymore.
Right.
And it was almost a rare instance where the people overthrew the, you know, what the township was.
Yeah.
And to the tune, the Austin Town Hall Park is the thing here. It's a landmark, also landmarked in 2006. But the significance of that is that the town hall park building that's there was actually the Cicero Township Town Hall. So when they dipped off and Cicero said, all right, fine, you can go be part of Chicago, they kept the town hall.
Wow.
They kept Cicero's town hall, and now it's a landmark, and it's part of the Chicago Park District. And another fun fact, I know you know this one.
I know.
Yeah, go ahead, tell it.
Well, it's modeled after Philadelphia's Independence Hall.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you look at it, there's a picture on the screen for those of you that are watching. But if you look at it, it looks pretty damn close. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What's crazy about it is that when people talk about that building, they say it might be modeled. Stop it. It's modeled directly after the damn. It looks just like it. You know, like,
it
looks just like it. So pretty cool. Pretty cool that. Why do you know why they how did that conversation go that, all right, we're going to Chicago and you can have our town hall building? Like, what?
I don't know.
Yeah, but doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
These are the type of things that I want to know that the Chicago History Museum, do they know, or they just not telling people?
They don't talk about who bullied you out of a town hall?
They probably do. But it was not in my notes. Let's put it that way.
Okay, right. what other fun facts do you have in your notes?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Tons, but I don't know where to start.
Yeah, just Austin area, if you got anything.
Oh, Austin. Nothing more
you
about
said,
Austin.
You said there's nothing special about Austin, if I'm being
I
honest.
I didn't say that.
He said, don't get me on here talking about it.
He's like, it's pretty
I'm
average.
Neutral.
Yeah. But to be fair, this is a part two. So we and the stuff that we covered, we didn't talk about in the first one. I think that the town hall part is actually pretty interesting. And the reason why I ask is because there's no documentation or no reason that I could find as to why that is. Because to me, it's very... That's an odd thing. You know what I mean?
No, I would think it's just its location.
It's just the location, how they cut it out?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, if you would think if that's the town hall of it, which also the township, it is still a township, Cicero Township, it's one of 29 that are here still in the Chicagoland area. And for those you listen to us, I hope you remember that the reason why townships are still recognized is because, long story short, legal. So if we legally wanted to say, hey, this is my land, you got documentation. That's basically what it's for.
Bernard, I have a question.
Sure.
What's the difference between a township, a town,
and a village?
And what was the fourth one? There was a fourth one that we always aren't sure.
Yeah, I don't know. But those I remember that question.
And I don't really know the difference.
I feel like there's What are they doing differently?
Well, we don't really have villages around here.
That's yeah. true.
I mean, we have them in the suburbs, you know, like, well, Evanston is a township.
Mm. Oh. You know,
but maybe Highland Park is a village. I don't know.
So I feel like it's just a name. It's just a name, what people feel like. Yeah. Yeah, because, like, a village seems like a close-knit group of people.
Township is a little bit bigger.
Well, we're close to Riverside. I would think Riverside would be a village. Look, it's
that's
true. It was a planned, you know, planned
right. And a lot of places when they incorporated as a village and then went as a township, maybe that's what it is. Because when you think about Jefferson Park Township, that was a village first.
Yeah.
And they incorporated as a village first. I think I just put it together.
Maybe so.
Yeah, I think so. Because they start out as a village. If it's small enough, then they get bigger. And then they have
maybe
to go.
Maybe it is a population thing.
Yeah, I think it is population. I think it's how people gather, too. And like, and when you become a township, now you have a... I guess laws. I mean, you know what I mean?
Not laws.
Not like that. You know what I mean?
Really, my task today is to put words in your mouth, to reinterpret.
So when people listen to this back,
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
didn't Obama have an anger interpreter?
He did.
I'm that person today.
Is that you? That's you? Just interpret everything.
Yes.
I think that's it. I think that's what. A village, township, and city.
You just decided that. You're like, this is it. This is their real...
Look, the listeners, they'll let us know in our DM.
They probably will.
Yeah, for sure.
They probably will. You probably gonna have a lot of DMs.
I don't want to hear it. I didn't say anything. If you listen back, I didn't say anything.
Didn't say nothing. On that note, this is... the history part has been fun to kind of go over. You know, I'm really interested in doing the volunteer work for the... I didn't know you could do that. 22 years. I did not know you could just... I feel like we would be a good resource.
You don't get bored?
No, because you don't do the same thing all the time.
So what do you do?
Well, I could do...
you said whatever
tours.
I want.
Well, I could do tours in the museum.
Mm. Oh.
I could do activities with kids who come on field trips, but that hasn't been happening because of the pandemic.
Right.
Or I could do... tours in the neighborhoods.
Mm.
So I used to do L tours.
Okay.
Oh,
so I did
nice.
The Green Line L tour.
Wow.
The Brown Line L tour.
Which is here in Austin, the Green Line. Yeah.
Green Line. Yep. So I used to do those L tours.
Wow.
And I do walking tours in Bronzeville. So I do once a month in the summertime.
Yeah.
A walking tour in Bronzeville. And then we used to do, well, I used to do Old Town.
Mm.
I used to do an Old Town walking tour.
Nice.
Wow. I bet you that's
kind of fun.
Yeah. The St. Michael's Church down there.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be.
That's
got to be. I never would have thought. Well, a lot of the Chicago Fire history, that's some big history right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they had the exhibit last year, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's still there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Still there, yep.
Wow. You know, I guess I never thought about Old Town because I'm, you know, I do comedy out there, Zany. So I'm always out there. You know, with the drunks, you know what I mean?
After hours
and that time. So you don't think about like a walking tour there would be really fun.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is fun. It's interesting. And it's very interesting because there was a German influence in that area.
Yeah.
You know, Broadway used to be called like, you know, the old German street or something like that.
Yeah.
St. Michael's Church is there. But then they have the Buddhist temple there.
Right. Yeah.
You know, right around the corner.
Yeah.
And then after the fire, they were supposed to build houses made out of bricks, but they built wooden houses over there.
Yeah.
So there are some fire houses over there still.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool little transition there. There's a new development happening in Chicago that is going to be one of the first wood structures built in the city since the... I don't know what exactly
like
the building is.
House?
I think so. I think it's mixed use. I want to say it's 25 stories, I think.
Oh, wow.
I think it's 25 stories.
How do you build 25 stories of wood?
So technology, this is what they say. Yeah,
huff
you know.
And puff and...
Stop it. Big bad wolf it down. Or burn... No.
I mean,
but they say the technology now allows for wood to, you know,
it's
sustain.
It's treated.
Yeah, it's treated now. But the significance of that is Chicago is about to build a wood, and that was something that we law said no, don't do.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
yeah.
So history being made. See, this is why Chicago is dope, is because we this podcast, people ask us all the time, what do you do after 77? Chicago's still going to be going.
So much more.
Chicago's still going to be going. And we just covered like the tip of the iceberg with right. Chicago. So stuff like this happens where you get a historic building. Do you think they would name, like, landmark something? They probably, you wouldn't landmark something like that. But I feel like that would be something big enough to.
It's unique, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Chicago Fire is over 150 years old. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and there's a wood building.
Yeah, I don't quite get the point of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's the reason for that.
I just feel like the designer wanted to be different, and I'm sure he had to do a lot of talking to get that one
Make
done.
Make it, yeah. Like, I don't know, yellow glass instead of blue. That's different.
That would be different. That would look very weird here in Chicago.
Should we do the food?
We should do the food. We'll be right back. We'll talk about the food. It was some good food here. And you probably wouldn't think, but this is very good food. We'll talk about it in a second. Be right back.
Hello. Welcome back.
Hey.
To the food portion of this episode, brought to you in collaboration with Choose Chicago.
Oh, no.
That's unfortunate.
It's not the button I wanted. Choose Chicago.
That's unfortunate. Keep it.
Yeah, I will. It's live.
Yeah.
They'll really appreciate that.
Yeah. We'll give them that one. Yeah, there we go. That's what I was
saying. There you go. All right, so this week we went to, we went to Terry's Place here in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, when I picked it, I knew it was good, but I didn't know it was this good until we walked in, because a lot of these places don't necessarily, they've been around for so long that they don't necessarily like advertise awards they've gotten or, you know, until you walk in and you see that hanging up on the wall.
Yeah.
But Terry's has been around since 1971.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Damn.
And it has received the 2020 Distinguished Business Award. It is in the Vienna Beef Hall of Fame. It was featured on Chicago's Best. It's gotten like multiple certificates of appreciation.
Interesting.
And for Chicago's Best, it was on there for their pizza puff or calzone, whatever you call it. And we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's basically, it's kind of like a shack.
Yeah.
There's no seating. You just walk in and you order your food. And
quick, too.
Yeah. And I feel like everyone like in the area obviously knows them. They've been around for forever. So
you right about the awards, because like the awards, we walk in there, I wouldn't think to look at, oh, this place has awards. Not to say that the food, it doesn't deserve anything, but you're right. Places like this typically don't get recognition.
Right.
You know, so to see that on the walls are a ton of accolades and awards that is won. And if you're talking about that calzone, let's start there.
Okay.
let's start there. Because that wasn't a calzone.
It's not a calzone. That's a whole pizza.
Folded up in half. Is exactly what it was.
Correct.
Like that was, it was very good.
And it's extremely puffy.
Yeah.
For a pizza puff?
They call it pizza puff, right?
Yes.
It's not a pizza puff, y'all. I don't want to steer y'all wrong. Like, they call it a pizza puff. This is a pizza folded in half. Okay.
It's
maybe a medium sized pizza.
It's like a foot long.
Yeah. Right.
But it wasn't crusty on the outside.
Correct. It was not.
Very,
it was
puffy.
Doughy. Perfect. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It was.
It has a lot of sauce, and we got the sausage ones, and it was packed like,
I mean, like, just like how a pizza, I think the biggest thing is it wasn't flaky, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because, like,
it was not.
A lot of times you get
like doughy,
something like that. Yeah, even a real size pizza puff is flaky, you know what I mean, and greasy as hell.
Right.
This was not.
Yeah, it didn't look correct. Greasy.
No, it wasn't. It was a very sizable piece too. We took like,
it's like not an individual person item either. Like, you're gonna eat it with other people.
Right. Other people or that's the only thing you having. You know what I mean?
For the whole like, day.
Yeah, for the whole day. Bernard, what did you have?
Oh, I had an Italian beef.
How was it?
Okay, how was it?
You know, that's the thing here.
I would say it was a B.
Okay.
It wasn't the best.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can compare it with Portillo's, and yeah, I would say it's almost as good as Portillo's.
Okay.
All right.
And they have good Italian beef.
They do. They do have good. It was a nice size too. Was that a small or?
Just
you
regular.
Just, yeah, because you go in there, you ask for it, you just say, let me get Italian beef. They know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, they got their signs up like, 1 through 12 is right. That's those are the meal
the
variations.
Main, the main meals.
Yeah, you say that one, that's what you get. Yeah. You know.
What did you have?
I had, of course, the double cheeseburger. here's the money you can bet.
Yeah.
That I'm a safe bet when it comes to burgers. All right. So this burger was good.
Yeah. Was it a smash burger?
It was not a smash burger. It was just a good burger. Mm. Right. It was just a good burger. All the toppings. It was the type of burger that all the toppings are on the bottom. On the bottom half of the bun. And it was very good.
So even the lettuce and tomato and all that?
All that was on the bottom. Yeah, all of it on the bottom. And I like that because you get the cheese immediately. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
You're not distracted with the vegetables.
Yes, not distracted. We are live, and that's the horn that you hear in the back. Live here on the streets. But no, it was good. And for me, it was a large.
Yeah, that was a big burger.
That was a big burger. You usually don't get that type of burger that sizable and that good, you know what I mean, for the price that you got, that we got today. I think that was $5.
I mean, everything we ordered, three meals and the ginormous pizza puff, was $32.
Even.
Plus the two drinks.
Yeah,
plus
right. That's right. And a drink.
Because we got meals that came with fries and a drink.
Right. Right. Dang, that's I didn't even think about that. Yeah, we had four things for $32. That's less than 10 a person.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
And the fries that we ordered came with a homemade barbecue sauce.
Yeah, talk about that.
Which I feel like is a barbecue sauce mixed with mild sauce. That's like the taste I was getting.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Very good. Yeah. So I asked him because, he said, you want anything on it? And here in Chicago, that's just, do you want mild sauce on it? That's what that translates to. And so I said, you got mild sauce? He said, we got our own homemade sauce. So I said, let's try it. Obviously, we're doing it for the podcast. Got to tell the people about some new stuff.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that was very good.
Yeah.
I would say it definitely was a mild sauce mix.
Make
some inspiration from it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it also tastes very sweet, too.
Yeah.
It tastes very sweet, you know, and perfectly on the fries.
Yeah. I asked him to, like, drench the fries in it. And he was like, all over? I'm like, yep, all over the fries.
Yeah, don't play with me.
Yeah.
don't play with me. Just put it, you know how I go here. What did you have?
I had just a hot dog.
Just a hot dog?
A Polish.
They're not the same.
Yeah, I was about to say.
My bad. a Polish and not a hot dog. A Polish.
A Polish.
It was really good. All the, all the steamed. Accoutrement.
Because you could do, so this is interesting.
Yeah, you could get it fried.
Yeah, he said, right.
Fried or steamed.
Fried or steamed. I don't think I've ever had a fried sausage.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've never.
What's your preference?
They're both good, but I would say fried is probably better.
Really?
More decadent.
Have I?
I don't know.
Decadent is a nice word.
I've had charred or,
charred. Yeah,
there we go. Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't think deep fried.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
No.
I thought he meant like deep fried.
Yeah, right. That's what I was thinking too. Because I was like, I've never had that. But charred.
Charred.
Charge, yes.
Top 10, yes.
That's the only way, really. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Well, I had it steamed, so there's other ways. Yep. But
That's
a different way.
That's a point.
No, but it was really good. I really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
it's
dope.
It's a Vienna beef, you know? You can't go wrong.
You cannot go wrong. Yeah. Fun fact, we talked about this off air, but Shake Shack now is made with their hot dogs are made with Vienna beef. Take that, New York.
Buddy.
Although Nathan's hot dogs are pretty good. Have you ever had Nathan's hot dogs?
I have not.
Okay.
Are they better than Vienna beef?
No. You will never hear me say that.
Really?
Yeah, they're very good, though. I will say they are damn good. If I'm giving New York credit, the hot dogs, smack. They are good. But that's a huge change for Shake Shack. So to go Vienna, Chicago won again.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's very good.
There you go.
Vienna beef been around since 1893. So
that's right. Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Is that the year of the World Fair?
Hey.
Yeah, I remember something.
Hey, look at you. No conspiracy.
No conspiracy theories.
I think I'm done talking about all the conspiracies for this episode.
We only talked about one. We didn't even talk about the fact that birds aren't real.
Oh, God. Bernard.
Do you think birds are real?
I'm not going to get it.
Oh, my God, Bernard. You have to entertain it a little bit.
I don't think we have that much time.
You said we can't go into it. Sarah is a firm believer.
Both of you are bullying me on this episode.
Look, I do what I do normally.
No, we're just letting you have your way.
Hey,
no, but the fun is in the back and forth.
No.
Like, I don't feel like a win-win if I just have my way, you know?
You see what I'm dealing with?
Doesn't feel like a real win, you know?
I get it now. You know,
we gave her the W and she's still not satisfied.
I need to feel like I earned it.
Well, you kind of did, you know? We tapped out of it.
Okay, so that's fair. I'll take it. That's all right.
There you go.
I knew you would. Yeah,
yeah. Wow, you know what? Now I don't want it.
In the end.
Hey, that's
he
a
just,
good.
He just told me that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Wow.
Politely.
I don't even want it anymore.
It's too late. Well, y'all, that has been the episode. We gonna end it just like that. Bernard won.
Take us.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Y'all, if you like this episode, thank you for listening.
Wait, no.
Did you ever say my last name?
What's your last name?
My last name is Turner.
Hey,
Bernard. Well, actually, Turner. You need to tell us where can people.
Yes, actually, yeah. Right. See, this is why I'm not supposed to close out.
Yeah, for real.
What am I going to tell you?
Where can people find you or anything that you do, any of your tours, any of that stuff?
Hey, get the book if you.
Through the Chicago History Museum or my website, highlightsofchicago.com.
Perfect.
They can't get the book, though.
Yeah.
They can?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
That book.
Not that book.
Because that was sold out.
Yeah. That's
but
true.
The other books, yeah.
Yes. We will have that linked in our
in
the comments and everything, so it's permanently there.
That'll be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Also on video, too. We'll have people show it so you can see it. You got to support. We got something we going to work on. We going to figure out and get it done.
Do you have any upcoming tours that people can go on?
Actually, I have one on Sunday.
Hey.
Okay. So this episode,
Chicago History Museum tour.
Perfect. So this episode comes out Wednesday.
Tomorrow. 2 days.
If you're listening on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, you could still go on the tour on Sunday.
Yes.
Chicago History Museum.
That's dope. And honestly, I worked with him on the tour, so he's very good at what he does. Wealth of knowledge in the different areas of what's there is just, you know, it was inspiring to me because I've made it very clear I want to be on tour, and that was my first time actually doing a tour in Chicago. And he wasn't even there to see it. No,
I know.
He left early.
He finished his part, and he was like, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm going. That was a long-ass tour. If I'm being honest, that was a long tour.
Yeah, that was like 7 hours.
Too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
We won't get into it.
Tours are not 7 hours.
No. They're not. They are what you need.
2 hours max.
2 hours max.
With bathroom breaks.
That's right.
That's right. Oh, man. All right, now.
Yeah, well, on this note, y'all be blessed. If you like this episode, send it to someone you like. Rate, subscribe, all those good things. If you did not like this episode, parks aren't real.
Wow. for Dario, Sarah, Bernard, we out. Bye.
77 Flavors of Chicago. We look forward to having you again next Monday. So make sure you look out for us on any platform where you can listen to a podcast. Make sure you rate, subscribe, and do all the things. And we'll see you next Monday.